My Father, we thank you for those words. Now, we will begin with, here's our handout, so people look at this, and we're going to be looking at when Israel really became a nation. People would call that the 10th plague, but it's really not the 10th plague. Yeah, so we've got, and I'll go ahead and put that on our website. And you're going to see, here's the 9 plagues. This is in Bollinger's Companion Bible. And you're going to see there's a pattern here. 3, 3, 3. So you got warning, warning, no warning. Warning, warning, no warning. Warning, warning, no warning. It will be noticed that the number 9 is connected with judgment. There's 9. And that the third plague of each 3 is without warning. To make this symmetry complete, Aaron was used in the infliction of the first 3 and Moses in the last 3. And there, now I've got an explanation here on the spiritual significance of the number 9. The number 9 is the most remarkable number in many respects. It is held in great reverence by all who study the occult sciences and the mathematical sciences. It possesses properties and powers which are found in no other number. And here's one example which is interesting. The number is 666. Let me see here. Is 9 times 74. So the word 9 times 74 makes 666. And we're going to see that we're going to break this into 9 plagues. But even the word plague is going to be very interesting. The word plague is not what you think it means. And we're using it incorrectly. So the word plague is Nagag, N-E-G-A. Its first usage is 1561. The first usage is Genesis 12:17, and where it says Yahweh plagued the people that were, you know, that had Sarah as Abraham's wife. That's the first usage. It's a noun. The second is Exodus 11:1, and the plague does not mean what you think it means. So plague means to strike, to touch. And so the verb is actually number 5060. The verb is also negay, N-E-G-A. And the first one is Genesis 3:3. Neither shall you touch it, remember the tree?
Yeah.
The word touch is the word. And so we have plague as a contagious bacterial disease that has nothing to do with the Greek word. The Greek word is plaga, P-L-A-G-A, which means to strike or touch.
You say Greek
or
Hebrew?
What's the Hebrew word?
The Hebrew?
The Hebrew word is nege,
okay.
N-E-G-A. And so when Rotherham and people translated plague, that's correct in the correct usage, strike, touch. But our meaning, when we say plague, we're thinking about
the black plague.
Yeah, we're thinking about disease, everything else, but that's not the meaning of the word plague. And we've got the wrong meaning on that. And it's interesting, too, instead of the 9 plagues, plague is only used once. Let's look at, and the one we're looking at is in Exodus, we'll be in Exodus, the whole book, 11:1. And that's the second usage of it.
That's the what?
Second usage of the word negay. And Yahweh uses it. Let's see here, 11. Excuse me. Everybody there? Then said Yahweh unto Moses, yet one strike will I bring in upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. One touch or one strike I will bring upon Egypt. Plague. Interesting, this word is not used in the other 9 incidences. When we call them the 9 plagues, we'll never use that word plague. This is the first usage in Exodus. Just note. Let's see here. And here's something else, the 9, well, I'm going to call them plagues, or striking or touchings of Yahweh, but they're not called plagues. One thing was about those, is remember, Moses was saying, let us go sacrifice, and then we'll return. Yeah. Right? And so it was always with the assumption that you're not leaving, you're going to go sacrifice and you're going to return. Now when we get to this one, all right, which we would call the tenth, it's really the first of another incident.
Okay.
And so what we're going to call this, now, a little reading out of this, and this is a very good Franz Delitzsch, a German, in 1886, and they're bringing this to your attention. He said there's really not 10 plagues, there's 9. And then this one starts a whole other period. This is the only time when Yahweh comes in on the scene directly. And we're going to read this. It's called the Consecration of Israel as the Covenant Nation, Deliverance from Egypt. This is when they're going to become, in this particular deal, they're going to become a nation set aside by Yahweh. The deliverance of Israel from the bondage of Egypt was at hand. Also, their adoption as a nation of Jehovah or Yahweh. But for this divine consecration was necessary that this outward severance from the land of Egypt might be accompanied by an inward severance from everything of the Egyptian or heathen nature. So they're being set aside from Egypt, purified, and set aside from all the customs of Egypt also. And really, Abraham was a great example of that. You were removed from the nations. And that made you holy or separate. Mm-hmm. This consecration was being imparted by the Passover, a festival which was to lay the foundation for Israel's birth. Isn't that interesting?
Wow.
He's got Hosea 2:5. Into the new life of grace and fellowship with Yahweh, and to renew it perpetually in time to come. This festival was therefore instituted and commemorated before the Exodus of Egypt. The creation of Israel as the people of Yahweh, and he's got Isaiah 43:15, commenced with the institution of the Passover. So this way, you're looking at this, you can't call this the 10th plague because we're doing something completely different now. Because now, we're leaving and not coming back. The other ones were let us go and we'll come back. This one we're separating ourselves, and it starts with the Passover. And proof of this was preceded by the appointment of a new era, as we know, fixing the commencement of the consecration or congregation of Yahweh. This month is to be your head, which is really neat. Instead of the first, we know. He ended up saying, this month is now going to be the first of the year.
It'll be the first.
And the word is head. Isn't that interesting?
That's H-E-D? Nice.
Yeah. H-E-A-D.
Oh, head.
Yeah, head. Okay. H-E-D. And we're going to say the first, the beginning of the month. But first, let it be to you for the months of the year. And that gives us validation that something completely different is happening now. Because now we're starting a procedure that's going to be incorporated into these people who are not coming back, who are separating, purging themselves from Egypt and purging themselves from the ways of Egypt. And they've been there 400 or plus years. Mm-hmm. So you're looking at that. God, United States is 250 years. And so you imagine the pollution or the ways around you with all the gods. Now, the no warning plagues was, let's go to Exodus 8:16. We're going to call them plagues, but they're not called plagues. But they are being touched or struck by Yahweh. And I never thought about that. The finger of God. This is the finger of God. That's the touching.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
The touching. And that's interesting. Okay, 8:16, if I can find that. 8:16. There it is. And this is the first of the three. This is the third one, which is no warning. Then said Yahweh unto Moses, say unto Aharon, stretch forth thy hand and smite the dust of the land, so it shall become gnats in the land all over Egypt. There's no warning to Pharaoh this is happening. Boom, we just do it. Now we go to the sixth one, in chapter 9, verse 8 and 9. Then said Yahweh unto Moses and unto Aharon, take ye your hands full of the ashes of an oven, and Moses shall scatter them towards the heavens before the eyes of Pharaoh. Then shall they become fine dust, cover all the land of Egypt, and shall become on man and on beast a burning sore, breaking out in pustules in all the land of Egypt. No warning on this either. That's the sixth one. The ninth one is darkness, which is chapter 9, or chapter 10, verse 21. Then said Yahweh unto Moses, stretch forth thy hand over the heavens, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, that one may feel the darkness. No warning on this either. So this is the finality of the nine touches over Egypt to get them to submit. Obviously they didn't. Now we go into chapter 10. Excuse me, 27. And Yahweh let the heart of Moses wax bold, and he was not willing to let them go. So Pharaoh said to him, Moses, get thee from me, take heed to thyself, do not any more see my face, for in the day that thou seest my face, thou shalt die. And Moses said, well hast thou spoken, no more again to see thy face. Now let's jump down to 11:8b. This is the continuation of this occurrence. Huh. And he went forth from Pharaoh in a heat of anger. Wow. And Yahweh has said unto Moses, Pharaoh will not hearken to you, that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. So then Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh. But Yahweh let Pharaoh's heart wax bold, and he did not let the sons of Israel go out of this land. So what happens this in between from what happens in 11:1? Remember, 10:29 is finished on 11:8b.
What do you mean 11:8b?
Chapter 11:8b, and he went forth from Pharaoh.
Oh, sorry.
So we're still talking about the same situation. So there's a middle part that had to, in my opinion, had to be a revelation that was given to Moses while he's standing there with Pharaoh.
Wow.
So look at it. And the revelation is, this is in here, you know, Moses said, thou hast well spoken, no more again to see thy face. And then all of a sudden something comes while he's looking at Pharaoh. Then said Yahweh unto Moses, yet one plague, or one touch, or one strike, will I bring upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. After that, he will let you go from hence. So he's still standing here.
He's whispering at his ear.
Yeah, the revelation is coming. He will altogether drive you out from thence. Speak, I pray you, in the ears of the people, and let them ask every man of his neighbor and every woman of his neighbor articles of silver and articles of gold. So we're going to look at this thing, and this teacher also, Franz, said, you know, there was a break period before this is going to happen, because you're supposed to bring your lamb on the 10th of Nisan, and you're going to butcher it on the 14th. So you have that happen. You're going to go to your neighbors and get the silver and gold. So that's going to happen too. So it looks like this happens like the next day.
Yeah.
Well, it can't.
Yeah.
Because in order to do the Passover, you have to get your lamb on the 10th of Nisan, and you're not going to kill it till the 14th of Nisan. Okay, and you have to get the silver and gold and go, you know, get all equipped. And then it's going to happen. So it might be another 5 to 10 days in between these incidents.
Nisan is the first month of that year.
Yeah, they just changed it. It was Tishri, which was the first, and now it switched to Nisan. And because Yahweh's making a distinction about this particular time and this particular thing.
It's like a Declaration of Independence.
Yeah, it's like a Declaration of Independence. So this is the beginning of the, you know, of the commemoration of the nation of Israel, the covenant with Yahweh, as they're going to be their people separated.
Wow.
Let's see here, firstborn. And obviously, it's a firstborn that they're going to have. Let me see here. Let's go down at 4:11, verse 4. And Moses said, thus saith Yahweh, about midnight am I going forth in the midst of Egypt. And guess what? This is the only time Yahweh's coming and being involved.
Yeah.
Directly. And guess what he's going to do? He's going to touch every firstborn. And that's the plague. And they're going to die. And so Yahweh's now involved to say, you've challenged me, I will show you who I am. About midnight am I going forth in the midst of Egypt. Then shall every firstborn in the land of Egypt, what?
Die.
Die. From the firstborn of Pharaoh who is sitting on his throne, upon the firstborn of the handmaid who is behind the two millstones, and every firstborn of beast, then shall be a great outcry in all the land of Egypt, such as never was and such as never be again. So you're seeing this, and remember, Yahushua, his son, is the firstborn. So we've always got to tie that into him being a Passover lamb. But instead of him, or Yahushua, bringing a Passover lamb, he is the Passover lamb. And so he is going to take the touch so we don't have to.
Wow.
And that's the same way here. The lamb took the touch, the strike from Yahweh, to die for our sins. Well, Yahushua took the touch to die for us.
I think.
So we don't have to do the lamb.
That's really so much more when you say it like that. It has so much more.
And he's the firstborn. So Yahweh's got this all set up. So this commemorates, you know, the Passover is even today now. So this is the first time you have this ceremony of the festival, the Passover, 7 days of unleavened bread, and you're going to do this, and it goes all the way through here to explain all the conditions that are upon that.
So don't break any bones of the lamb either. Christ's bones weren't broke.
Firstborn and bone is shared. Yeah, let me see here. Oh, yeah. Let's go to chapter 13, verse 1 and 2. And he's telling them, and Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, haul to me every firstborn, that which may female first beareth among the sons of Israel, among men and among beasts, mine it is. And why is that? Because he saved all of our firstborn for that sacrifice. And so that's where they would come. And so even when Yahushua was taken to the temple after he was circumcised, that was the offering, because he was the firstborn of Miriam and Joseph. Let's see here. And let's look at Exodus 12:27-33. This is kind of the end of the story. Then shall you say, a Passover sacrifice it is to Yahweh, who passed over the houses of the sons of Israel in Egypt, when he plagued, and that would be touch or stroke, or struck, the Egyptians, but our houses he delivered. And that's why the blood is so important, is the blood over the lintel. And this other person said, this the teacher, made it very interesting, because from then on, the Passover lamb was killed and put on an altar. Well, in this particular case, each individual's house, the lamb was killed and put into their house. And so each individual home was actually the altar, or the sanctuary for the individuals.
Yeah, to eat the bread, eat the meat.
Yeah, eat the meat, and all the conditions. It could be boiled, so forth. And it was bitter. Let me say here, he played the Egyptians, but our houses he delivered. Then did all the people bend their heads and bow themselves down. Isn't that a great deal? And the sons of Israel went their way and did as Yahweh commanded Moses and Aharon, so did they. And it came to pass at midnight that Yahweh smote every, and that's always Yahweh smote. So that makes it a brilliant distinction. This incident is so different than the other nine.
Yeah.
And it nearly needs to be another break. Instead of calling it the 10th plague, but it's really something else. It's a beginning of the nation of Israel. From the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat upon his throne, and the firstborn of the captive who was in the pit of his prison, and every firstborn of beasts. Then rose up Pharaoh by night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians. And there arose a great outcry throughout Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. So he called for Moses and for Aharon. He called for him and he said, if I see your face, I'm going to kill you. Mm-hmm. Right?
How about that?
But they don't see his face. He sends for him. By night and said, rise, go ye, go forth out of the midst of my people, both ye and the sons of Israel, and go serve Yahweh according to your word. Also your flocks and your herds take you as you spake and go your way, so shall you bless even me. And the Egyptians became urgent with the people to send them in haste out of the land, for they said, we are all dying. And that's something, and that's Yahweh separating, you know, the Israel from the Egyptians. So we'll end her right there.
But wait a minute. But Egypt, Pharaoh.
Well, he comes
like
after him. Yeah,
he looks like he does see him, though.
Is that
no? He does see Aaron and Moses. He sent message to Aaron.
Oh,
and Moses.
Sent a message.
Yeah, sent message to Aaron and Moses that you can go. And so now they had all their gear, and all of a sudden they go, and we've got to realize, we've got to look through spiritual eyes. Ephesians 6:10-18 is, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And so it looks like you're against Pharaoh.
Yeah.
But you're really not. And they didn't see that at that time either. But spiritual wickedness in high places.
Yeah.
For Isaiah's life and other people, we've got to realize, things will come at you and it looks very personal. Family members will try to break your heart and look like you're the problem. When it's not, it's spiritual wickedness. What is that? Spiritual wickedness in high places. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. And that's what's affecting you. So as long as you see that, you know, we've had some incidents where family members are completely separated and we're the bad guys. And it really hit me with the parable of the prodigal son. The prodigal son, when he left, according to his father, he's dead. And so when that happens, instead of thinking about them, think of the time that you had, and now they died.
Be grateful.
Yeah, and I'm grateful for the time we had, and they died. And if they come, if they're raised from the dead, more power to it. If they're not, doesn't make any difference. No hard feelings. I'm thankful for the time that we did have. And so it doesn't hinder your mind for year after year after year after year after year, which it would do, because once a person dies, it's done.
Yeah.
Okay, that chapter is over. And don't let it consume you. Think of them that way. If they come back,
hallelujah.
Yeah, have a celebration because they were raised
like
from the dead.
And that's like that. And now it's.
Yeah, the prodigal son. That had nothing to do with the teaching. But we're here from our Heavenly Father by prophecy. Father, we thank you for these words. So, my sons and daughters, you have been given great spiritual ability and powers in order to exorcise demons and exorcise the darkness that's in this world. And as you lean upon me and exorcise the power that I've given you through Ruach HaKodesh, it will expel the works of darkness in many areas of life and set captives free and bring light into dark situations, which will set you free and show the power that resides in you. We'll see you next week.
Hallelujah. Now we got...